I appreciate everybody and everybody's hard work. Those aren't idle words. There's only so much you can do without people. And then there's only so much you can do without more people. And then there's only so much you can do without more people. The limitations will always be the willingness of people. And so I've always been complimented by evangelists that come in on the level of volunteerism in our church. And it is high. Needs to be higher because our aspirations are higher. Our goals are higher. I had somebody had a meeting with me this week, and if you know me, now you're going to understand this meeting. They came in, and this is somebody, well, I'll leave it right there. And we talked for a bit, and they wanted to tell me about themselves, and they said, you know, I just want you to know that I'm a prophet. Now, this person wasn't dressed like a prophet. Now, I don't know how a prophet dresses, but in my opinion, they weren't dressed like a prophet. And I'm saying all that for a reason. They began to talk, and it was a very good conversation, a very casual conversation. And they told me how they've been around many different churches, and they've been kicked out of churches. And as they began to tell me things that the Lord had spoken to them, I just felt an affirmation in my spirit that this guy's real. Now, when you think prophet, you might think of somebody that wants to jump up there and they want everybody to fall over themselves to get their signature at the end of service. Not that kind of prophet. A lot of people that operate in that gifting, they fly under the radar. So as the conversation went on, eventually he began to talk to me about us and our church. And I wish I remember exactly. I asked him to write it down. I wish I remember exactly, but he said, you know, don't stop, push. He said, you're going to build this building and you're going to fill this building. And these are things he said the Lord told him to say to me. And he said, he talked about giving and increase and everything. And it was a very humble conversation. But I told him, I said, I receive all of it. Not because it was where we are trying to go, but because it helped me, because I don't always want to go there. So my point is, God is in this season. The Lord is in this season. And I need you to believe with me, and I need you to get on board with me and to receive with me. I don't know who that was, Brother Matthew. Wonderful testimony. And there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. That is reaping and harvesting. It's Ecclesiastes 3. And everything is seasonal. God is timely in everything that he does. And so I firmly believe this is a season to plant and to pluck up that which is planted. I would encourage you, don't hold back what God leads you to do. And again, as always, you know, if you think that, you know, we're just after your money, then just, I would rather you not give it. I got enough issues to deal with. I don't want to deal with that kind of spirit. That's just, honestly, I'm being serious. Last night, we'll pray here in a second. I was on my way to Conneaut, and as we pulled in, the Lord laid a word on my heart to teach last night. And it was, they don't know, but it was 100% impromptu. Such a tremendous spirit was there. We had tremendous prayer at the end. It was just a beautiful atmosphere. And I have decided I want to bring that same word here tonight. So, if you open up your Bible, if you have it, the Jeremiah 8:20, just one verse. If you were there last night, then welcome to a double dose. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. He's going to pray, and I want to preach to you for a couple minutes on the topic urgency. Urgency. Go ahead and pray for us, Brother Matthew. Would you pray with him?
Precious Jesus, Lord, we love you. God, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done here tonight, Lord, and all that you're going to do in this wonderful spirit that we feel here tonight. God, I ask that as our spirits continue, Lord, to just dwell in this place, Lord, that your spirit just fills the atmosphere, Lord. God, use Pastor, Lord, as you see fit tonight, Lord, to bring the word, God, that you have laid on his heart this week, Lord. God, I ask that you just speak through him, Lord. God, that he just steps so far into your presence, Jesus. God, that there is no mistake, Lord, that you are speaking directly into the lives of your church, Lord. God, I ask that his mind is just free, Lord, from all distraction, Lord Jesus. God, that every distraction just leaves this place immediately, Lord. God, it makes room for your word to come forth as clear as it needs to be, Lord. God, may the weight of this week, Lord, just melt away, God. Lord, and may your spirit just fill our hearts, Lord. And God, just use Pastor to the perfection, Lord, that you see fit tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless. You can be seated. How many know of the doomsday clock? It's a clock that governments around the world utilize based off of their own understanding of the signs of the times, if you please. And this clock today is at 89 seconds before midnight. It is said that if that clock ever strikes midnight, that is your global catastrophe. Now, we know that the Bible speaks of two-thirds of man that will die in a great war. The only real way that we can conceivably think that could happen, of course, is through nuclear war. There is a tremendous amount and has been, and it will not change, of global instability. Global. Again, you've heard me say this, but I need you to understand that militaries across the world are increasing some 100-fold their military capabilities. Most of Europe, several years ago, after Russia invaded Ukraine, they went into a wartime economy. And they have been beefing up their conscription. Many of them, Poland, Germany, have gone to mandatory conscriptions. Other countries, some of the smaller Baltic states, have done the same thing because they all are convinced that there is a war coming and that Russia will be a part of that. At some point, we know that the Bible is going to be fulfilled. There is no, you can ignore it, you can pretend like it doesn't exist, you can go read a fairy tale story and go watch Superman and think that he saves the planet that's crashing into the earth. That's all fiction, it's all a farce, it's not real. The fact is, whether it's today, tomorrow, 2 years, 10 years, 100 years, our world is coming to a close, according to the scripture. And I believe there's something inside of mankind that concurs, that feels these things. And they look at it from a very humanistic standpoint, but they do not look at it from a spiritual standpoint. They look at it from one sense, we look at it as another. They say when that clock strikes midnight, most of humanity will probably die. We say when the clock strikes midnight that the world has come to a close. The Science and Security Board, who's in charge of managing this doomsday clock, made this statement. They said a move even a single second closer should be taken as an indication of extreme danger and an unmistakable warning that every second of delay in reversing course increases the possibility of global disaster. Every second of delay. Our world, some of our leaders are mindful of the seconds, but I'm concerned that the church is not mindful at all of where we are. I'm concerned that the Christian community at large, and I can prove it to you, I can prove to you even that most of the people here tonight, this is not meant as an insult, are not living with a sense of urgency in their spirit. Matthew 24 and 36, I don't know if I gave you any of my verses. I'm sorry. Matthew 24 and 36, it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, or as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." So the Bible says that our day is going to be like that day. And to put that into context for you, here I am tonight preaching about urgency, and all across this world, all people care about is their wedding coming up, their job promotion, they're going to buy a new car this week, we're looking to move to Florida and settle down, going to buy me a vacation home, we're going away this year, we're going to forget life exists, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There is no sense of urgency, and this has affected the church. You've heard enough people say to you, "Well, my parents and grandparents are teaching the Lord's coming and he hasn't come yet," and it's caused you to be leery and weary or just neglectful or forgetful. And so what does urgency look like? Most people would have an opinion of urgency, but I'm going to give you just a very simple definition. If you've ever been at home getting ready, and you're taking your good old time, and all of a sudden someone says, "My gosh, it's 9 o'clock already." And you say, "What? It's 9 o'clock? Your teeth aren't brushed, your hair's not combed, you're half dressed, and you've got to be somewhere in 30 minutes, and you've got a 20-minute drive, and you still got 15 minutes to get ready before you can even get out the door. Do you know what happens? I don't know what you do. Me, I'm not worried about the hair that's sticking up that day. You're throwing some gel in, fastest toothbrushing you ever did. You're not worried about matching. You throw some stuff on, you fly out the door, and you get there as fast as you can. Urgency. But sometimes we wonder if we're even going to church tonight. I don't know. How do you feel? What do you think? Oh, I just got so much going on. And I know I'm preaching by and large to the choir tonight. Got so much going on. I really like to be there. I don't know. I know there's that stupid revival time again. And, you know, I know they're going to ask us to be there Friday and Saturday night and Sunday. And, man, I really like to go. I'm just so busy eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. No sense of urgency. If the devil had a strategy, if I were the devil, I would make people just plain complacent. Go to church, just be complacent. Pray, just don't pray with urgency. Read your Bible, just don't read your Bible like it could be your last day or last moments on this earth. Whatever you do, do it. Just don't have a sense of urgency. Because when you know that time is near, there's a sense of urgency. Do you know what Noah was doing up to the very last second? He wasn't on vacation. He wasn't worried about painting his living room. And I gotta make sure I cover every basis. I know how people's brains work. I'm not saying don't paint. You'll be going, "Then what, does pastor think we shouldn't paint our living room now? Has it gotten to that point? Paint. I don't care. Paint." I'm just giving you an example. Noah wasn't painting the living room. Noah wasn't planning vacation. He wasn't out there on a hike. Noah was building a boat. Because he had a sense of urgency. The Lord told him in the beginning, 120 years and my spirit will no longer strive with man. Noah knew that the clock was ticking. He knew that time was short. I don't know if they preached to those outside the boat. I don't know if they sent one person out on an evangelism mission that day. I don't know. But I do know this. God said, if you're going to make it, you've got to be on that ship when I close that door. It's the only way you're going to survive what's coming. And Noah never failed to operate with a sense of urgency. I've got to get this ship done. I've got to get my home ready. I've got to get my family in order. I've got to make sure their hearts are right with Jesus. I've got to make sure I do this Bible study tomorrow. I've got to make sure I invite someone to church on Sunday. I've got to make sure I'm doing what God has called me to do. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. One day we'll get there. One day we'll get there where the harvest is over. God will say no more harvest. The summer, metaphorical, is ended, and there are still multitudes, multitudes who are still lost. John 9 and 4, the next one is going to be in Matthew. John 9 and 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John was saying some things you got to do during the day, you can't do it at nighttime. Do it while the daylight is up. Do it while the sun is up. Do it while it's prime, while the time is right. Don't wait till the last second. Don't wait till the last moment. Do you know why it's important that we teach ourselves punctuality? Because if we don't, we'll never have a sense of urgency when it comes to our soul and our spirit. And let me tell you, I want to give you the worst picture you could ever have in your mind tonight. You'll never know when your child is burning in hell for all of eternity. Because God won't let you see it. If you can live with that thought, God bless you. I cannot. And so we've got to have a sense of urgency. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I've got to reach people now while I can. I've got to preach this gospel now while I'm still able. I've got to do Bible studies now while I still have time to do them. I've got to get as many people in the church as I can now while we are still able. Because at some point, the sun is going down on the church. And when it sets, there will be no more evangelizing, no more trying to reach your home or your family. And we have got to get a sense of urgency in our spirit that Jesus is coming for his church. He's coming for a bride, not a bride that's apathetic, not a bride that's half in the church, half out the church, but the Bible says a bride without spot or wrinkle, a bride that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, a bride that has been born all over again, a bride that has made themselves pure and cleansed themselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's the bride that he's coming for. And we are the bride. There's got to be a sense of urgency in our spirit. The church has a responsibility. God put us in the church just not so we could feel good and get to heaven. God put us in the church because we have responsibility. Matthew 28 and 19. Affectionately known as the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So let's go back and look at that first part again. He says to go. He didn't say stay. He didn't say tweet. He didn't say post an invitation on Facebook. That's the lazy 2026 generation. That's how they evangelize. I'm all for social media. I think it's very important to our churches. I polled the group last night that was there, and there's probably 15 people there last night. I asked every one of them how they came to the Lord. Not one of them said, I saw a Facebook post. Not one of them said, someone texted me, and so I came to church that day. Not one. You know what they said? My friend at work was talking to me about the Lord. Somebody drove a bus down the road. Somebody came and knocked on my door. Somebody gave me a personal invitation. Go. He said we are to go. I'm worried the church isn't going because the church is not operating with a sense of urgency. Our commission, our commandment, our mission is to go. And if we go, the Bible says that there's a plenteous harvest. Well, I try. There's just nobody. We're not trying. We're not trying. We say we are and we think we are. If the Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but the problem is always laborers. Always laborers. You know what that means? That means in the day of sit home on your fanny and do your job. Sorry, some of y'all. I understand if that's your job. That's so, you know, I just got a whole bunch of people mad at me right now. I got to try and back up there. Can we strike all that? Pretend like I never said anything like that. After COVID, people got really used to that stuff. Every excuse in the world not to get up and go to work. Well, I can do it right here. I can just send out invitations right here. I can just post scriptures every day on my Facebook. That's what I do right here. I don't have to go. But the Bible says we are to go. Jesus went. He didn't stay. He was constantly on the move, constantly reaching for the lost, constantly doing miracles, signs and wonders, constantly evangelizing. He went. And he said, go. So the first thing he said was go. The second thing he said was teach. Go and teach. That means he didn't say teach if you're comfortable teaching. Teach if you've been in church for at least 5 years, teach. He said go and teach. Go and teach. Talk to people about the gospel. Talk to them about your relationship with God. Tell them what he's done for you. Tell them what he can do for you. Tell them what the word says in this situation and that situation. But we have listened to the devil way too long. We don't talk religion when we go to our family's houses on the holidays. How in the world do you ever expect to get them saved? Or do you just turn a blind eye and pretend like they'll just fall into heaven one day? No, they will not. It's when you decide to go. I'm not saying get contentious and get into fights, but you can do little things like, hey, can I pray over the meal this time? Hey, Christmas is coming. Would you consider coming to church? Listen, I know you don't like to talk about this, but you know and I know that Jesus is coming for church. We have got to get our brains wired to go and to reach and to teach. And then he said, after he said teach, he said to baptize them. Baptize them. Now, just in case you're not familiar, he did not say to baptize them in three titles. He said baptize them in the name of those three. The name is one time. It's singular. The name represents the Father. The name represents the Son. And the name represents the Holy Ghost. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The Bible is very specific about how important that name is. Why? Because all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. It's that name that causes devils to flee. It's that name, the Bible says, when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, hold on a second, that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Lord, or that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. He said, go. When you go, teach, and when you teach, baptize them in that name. And then the next verse. Now listen, let me just pause, because I feel it. And it might be insincerity. I feel the stubbornness. Some of you just so stubborn, you just stuck in your old way of thinking. It's as obvious as the day. It's as obvious as some people's teeth are yellow. It's that obvious. Listen, I'm just giving to you scripture. The apostles never baptized anybody using those titles. This verse is the only verse in the Bible that uses the reference Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There's not another verse in the Bible that uses it. Find it for yourself. Doesn't exist. And when he taught it, they carried out his commandment and they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord. That's how all the baptisms were. Why? Because the name is what carries the power to absolve us of our sin when we go into that watery grave. Well, does it really matter, Pastor? Ask Jesus if it matters. I don't know. Ask him. I mean, I know what I think. But I would ask the man that came and was beaten and suffered and tortured and humiliated and mocked and arrested and kicked and spit upon, his beard plucked out, thorn of crown stuck through his skull, beaten until his flesh was torn from his body, and then forced to carry the cross until he no longer had any weight. And then once they drug him up there and they mocked him more and they nailed him to that cross and he hung and his body violently shook as the cross. Now ask him if it really matters. It's the name is where the power is. He said, go and teach and baptize them in the name. And then he said in verse 20, watch this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's a continual work. Teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded. There's got to be a continual watering, planting and watering process. Planting and watering, planting and watering. I was explaining last night to our group that you cannot have harvest all the time. If you do, it's not harvest. You got people throwing dead, rotten corn in your storehouse. It's impossible to have harvest all the time. There's a season to plow, and then a time to plant, and then a time to pluck up that which is planted. So you plow, you seed, you water the seed, and then in due season, that harvest begins to grow. And then you keep watering it as it grows. And you keep watering until it finally reaches its full stature. And then one day, you got to go out and you got to do the dirty work. And you got to work. You got to bring in the harvest. You can't bring in the harvest without working. You can't just post stuff on social media and hope people just fall through the front door. He said, go. It is work. It takes work. Listen to me. It took somebody work to get you here. It took somebody work to get me here. Somebody drove that bus, and they drove it every single week until we came to a point where we were able to drive ourselves. It's not a one-and-done thing. There's got to be a continual work. Teach them to observe all things. And teaching is not a one-time thing. Ask any kid that's in school right now for the last 12 years. And so you have seasons of plowing and planting and watering. And then you have the harvest. But then when the harvest is done, you got to go back. And then you got to have a time of plowing again. That's work. Listen, that's work. That's handing out flyers. That's sending out mailers. That's knocking on people's doors. That's picking up the phone and calling people. That's visiting people. And then you do that throughout the year. We're not used to that. We grew up in the Walmart generation. You want food, go buy it. That's why everybody's dying a slow death. But God made us to harvest. He made us as harvesters. He made us to plow, to work. That's why the scripture says if the man don't work, he doesn't deserve to eat. He didn't say, take him to the welfare station. I'm not against needs. I grew up on it. I've told you that 100 times. I carried the food stamp coupon books every day down to the store. I understand all that. We needed it. But you got a bunch of lazy people out there. They're too lazy to work, and everybody's got a problem. They can't work anymore. And I know you get into talking about this stuff, it gets really squirrely. Cole, you're going to have to forgive me, but I'm going to use you. Cole was diagnosed with ADHD years ago. He don't sit home. Cole doesn't even sit down ever. I don't even think he sits when he sleeps. Cole gets up, he goes to school, he goes to work, he works out. Then he comes home and does his chores there every day. And he don't use it as an excuse. understand there are situations. We're not talking about the exceptions. People have made the exception the rule. And now listen, the reason I'm bringing that up is because we are contending with generations of laziness. And now we've got laziness in the churches. And people don't want to get up and they don't want to go. Oh, they want to go if they're getting something. If I can go get something for myself, I'll go. If I can go to Walmart and get some groceries, I'll go out in the weather. But if I have to go do outreach, it's too bad out. It's too bad. If the radio station called you and said, you won a $500 gift certificate, come on down and pick it up. You wouldn't say, but it's snowing out. Now, there are a few people that would. I'll give you that. For the most part. Now, listen, I'm not picking. I'm just speaking realities. This is what we're contending with. This is what the church has got to understand. There is no shortage of harvest. We just need people that will go. And people will not go until they have a sense of urgency. You've got to believe that the Lord is coming. You got to love people enough to want to do something about it. And if you don't, if you love your fingernails more than you love the lost, then you better get on your face and you better find a place to pray. If you can spend 30 minutes painting your fingernails, but you can't spend 15 minutes talking to somebody about Jesus, you've got a problem and you got to get it fixed now before it's too late. I've got a good scripture for that. It's in Jeremiah. It was the night before Babylon was going to invade. And I'm going to paraphrase. And Jeremiah said, what are you going to do? He says, you're going to deck yourself out in nice clothes. He says, you're going to paint your face. You're going to put on your gold. What he said is what's all that stuff going to do for you? What's that going to do for you? It's in there. I'll give it to you if you don't believe me. What Jeremiah said is, hey, this isn't the time to worry about that stuff. There's a sense of urgency here. You don't know it. And I know I've been preaching it for quite a while. And I've been preaching it for years and years and years. That Babylon's coming. God's going to bring this place down if you don't repent and turn. And they never did. And so the night before, he gives them this message. He said, what are you going to do? This ain't going to save you. This isn't going to help you. None of this stuff's going to, ain't none of this junk going to get us into heaven. The only thing that's going to get us into heaven is if we are born again. And if we are living a holy and a righteous lifestyle. If we fall in love with Jesus and make him the first love and the priority of our lives. And if we love him that much, then we will love the lost the way he did. Amen. Or we don't love him as much as we think we did. Urgency. See, what I'm trying to do, I won't be a lot longer. I'm trying to create some urgency. I'm trying to create some urgency. Now, you know what that's like. Now, I don't know how it works in your home. Husband, wife, husband. It goes both ways for us. Sometimes you're like, honey, we got to go. I know. Well, I know you know, but I'm just telling you. It's such and such time. We got to go. We got to go now. We got to get out the door now. Now, I said, honey, I didn't say her. She could be doing to me. I could do to her. We're both innocent. How about the kids? Come on. You guys. Well, this is how people are. Some of you young people know that. That's what the world has taught you. Can you go? No urgency. No urgency at all. None. You hear their clogs flopping across the floor. Clock, 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 clock. I said we have to go. I know. You don't have to yell. Yes, I do. You're not getting the urgency here. When we came back from England, it was tough. Nobody's fault. We checked out of our place early in the morning. The rental car company didn't open until such and such time. That wasn't enough time to get to the airport and get out of there. I called him the night before. I said, hey, I got a problem. I got to drop this vehicle off, and it was in downtown Manchester. You can't just drop it off anywhere. It's all closed off. They got to be open. The gates open so you can drive it in. There's like this big, it's like an island, if you please. And the road went around this big area where all these buildings were, and you had to drive in, and the gates were closed. So I said, how am I going to do? They said, I don't know. Just show up. Hopefully somebody be there early. So we got there early, And they weren't there at first, but it wasn't long they got there. And I said, you got to rush me out of here, man. And then we had to find the, the Uber driver, he had no sense of urgency, none at all. I got him on the app, man. I'm like, where are you at? He said, I'm right over there. I said, I don't know where over there is at. I said, I got to go. Can you drive around here and pick me up? I'll just drive, walk over. What do you walk? Drive around the block, man. I got to go to the airport. He wouldn't budge. We had to find this dude. We get in the car. Now, he did drive a little fast. He gets us there. We pull under the airport. It was underneath the garage. And there's an elevator. I kid you not. We pull up there, and there's 50 people there. I'm like, oh, my God. One elevator, 50 people. And we're like minutes before before a deadline, checking our bags in, trying to get back across the ocean. And I walked up, sense of urgency. I said, excuse me. Does anybody have to be have to check their bags in the next 5 minutes? And people looked and they parted like the Red Sea, thank God. If that was in America, they wouldn't have moved. They'd have stuck their nose up at me and laughed. Thank God. And we got on the elevator, we ran up. I kid you not. We got in line, we checked our bags. A woman was behind us and they turned her away. We barely get our bags checked and we hear, such and such flight to Washington, D.C., final boarding. It's on the other side of the airport in Manchester, England. I left my family. I said, I got to go. I got to stop this plane. We were the Home Alone deal. I kid you not. We're flying. We're running through the airport. The kids were smaller. Caitlin was with us. I forgot. She was with us. And I said, I got to go. I'm gone, Mom. I said, where are the guys? Leave me. And I'm running up to the gate, and they're standing there. They're like, final call. And I said, hold on! I've never went through an airport like that before or since, thank God. But you see, there was a sense of urgency. If you miss an international flight, it ain't just pick up the next one. I don't know when you're going to be there. Who knows when there's going to be another opening, another open seat for 6 people. Urgency. When there's an urgency, You forget about some pleasantries. What are you talking about? I don't know if I believe that. Listen, I understand. You don't know if you believe it. But I'm telling you, do you have the luxury of gambling with your soul? I'm not trying to religionize you. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is coming for his church. And he loved you enough to send me to you. We don't do this stuff. You want to come to my church? Okay. Well, if you ever want to come, here's a card. Really? But Jesus said, go and teach. Now, I'm not saying those things don't matter, because that's seed planting. I believe in handing out the cards. I believe in doing the radio spots. I believe, why? Because that's seed planting. But someone's got to come back and water the seed. Here you are. And some of you, if you've been through this, I want you to raise your hand. I'll get to the end here fast. And here you are, you're talking to somebody, and they're like, is that church over on Route? Yeah, over on Route 6. Yeah. Oh, I got one of their mailers. I got a Carter. Someone else just talked. Anybody ever had that happen to them? You think that's by accident? Water that seed. Urgency. Urgency. I picked up a guy right there at the Y at 46, and I don't know what the other road is there. Coming out of Jefferson, the Y where the little car dealership-ish, body shop-ish, whatever it is-ish, thing sitting there. And I'm driving one day, and I see this dude walking. It was cold outside, so I just pulled over. I was on the phone talking to somebody. I said, hey, you need a ride? Yeah, I'm going to Ashville. Where are you going? Okay, I'm going to Ashville. All right, good. I take him. We're talking. I invite him to the Christmas service. I get over there. I drop him off. And I gave him a number, and I said, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I'd like you to come to church and just come visit. You know, okay, blah, 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 blah. And then it was about a week and a half later, I'm driving. I'm at that same, I get right to that stop sign. That why? I look, I'm like, there's no way this is the same guy walking. I rolled down my window. I said, hey, he turned up. Hey, how are you meeting you? I said, listen, I said, this ain't by chance. This is not by chance. I said, he's, I know, I was thinking, you know, what's the chance? I said, it's not by chance. I said, your attention. God wants to get a hold of you. I said, I need you to come. I said, just visit, call, do this, do that, whatever. Nothing ever materialized, but I did my part. I planted some seed, left him a card. He's got my number. Now, hopefully somewhere, somebody runs into this man. Urgency. Huh. This is the same why that pastor said he picked up some guy and there's this dude walking. Urgency, stop. Not urgency, I got to get to my basketball game. Not urgency, I got a doctor's appointment. I had to cancel 4 times in a row. Urgency, God's trying to get this man's attention. God's trying to do something. I've got to take the time. I've got to do something. Ezekiel 33:6. After this is done, honey, can you come and play? I went too long, I think. But if the watchman, Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take away and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Being silent, or silence is not neutrality. You can't take a neutral position. We're called to do something. What am I saying? I know about all the people out there. They like to poo-poo the Old Testament now. Next time someone tells you the Old Testament's irrelevant, say, great, can I have your wife's number? I'd like to call her. I might want to have an affair with her. I'm being serious. I'd tell them that. I would. Well, you said you didn't believe, so adultery is okay. You don't believe in the Old Testament. And by the way, can I have your address? Let me know when you're not home. I think I want to come steal some things. Old Testament doesn't matter, right? It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. And so it's okay. You can covet your neighbor's wife too. Don't worry about that. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. It's Old Testament stuff. And you definitely don't have to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You just love him halfway. Just love him a little bit. That's what the world does anyway. Old Testament matters. It matters. I know that was a little bit of a, listen, you think I'm joking? I said that to somebody. I'm not joking. Now, I didn't say it that way. I told him, so anybody can have an affair with your wife, then you don't mind, right? That's okay. Why would you say that? Urgency. We don't have time to be messing around. People got to get that stinking thinking out of their head. That twisted, warped, whatever theology they've been hearing for all these years. Old Testament matters. And Ezekiel said, if the sword comes and takes away that person, you didn't warn him. He said, I'm going to require his blood at your hands. Why? Because God's called us to be watchmen on the wall. We're the voice of Jesus. We're the voice. We got to use that voice. We've got to use that voice. I'm not saying you got to go out there and beat the streets every day. I'm not saying you got to, you know, what I am saying is, and I told Kristen this last night, and I'm going to keep saying it. When we went around the room, I said, how'd you come to church? Someone sent a random invite. I said, great. You better start sitting down every month and sending 10 random invites. Freely you have received, freely give. Go. And that's a form of going. Sit down, take time, send them out. Pray over them before you send them out. Watch and see what God does. Watch and see what God does. Anybody ever have Brother Fred give you sweet corn? Ha, suckers, not many of you. I love feasting off somebody else's harvest. Of their plowing, their planting, their watering, I do. I mean, I'm not lazy. I just that's fun when someone else gives you the, you don't have to grow it yourself. What am I saying? You plant, you water. You plant, you water. You may never see the fruits there, but somebody else's planted and watered seed will eventually grow, and then God will give you that fruit. He'll give you some of that harvest. The law of reaping and sowing is not about me and what I get out of it. It's about just doing the will of God. But we won't do it unless there's a sense of urgency. I'm sorry if I've gone too long. I got 2 more verses. 2 Corinthians 5:18. It's not her fault. I didn't give her the verses. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, that hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors are not spectators. Ambassadors are sent by a higher power. The President of the United States appoints ambassadors to go all over the world. He sends them. They're not to act autonomously. Their job is to be a voice for the President. Their job is to speak on behalf of the authority that sent them. Listen, we are ambassadors. The Lord didn't ask you if you'd be an ambassador. He appointed you the day you were born again. We have an obligation to be a voice for the King of Kings. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're not doing this, just for the record. But I am saying we've got to start operating with a sense of urgency. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you can be a preacher in your own right, but you don't have to be a preacher. You have a preacher. Get them to the preacher. Get them to the preacher. What I'm asking you to do is to start operating with a sense of urgency. People are not saved off of Facebook. They're saved when somebody is willing to go. They're saved when somebody is willing to teach. They're saved when somebody is willing to baptize. I don't know about you. That's not a drudgery to me. I've never seen a person weeping before God and praying at the altar that I felt sorry for. I rejoiced. I've never baptized anybody that I felt sorry for because they could have been home watching their movie tonight. I rejoiced. I've never taught anybody a Bible study that I felt sorry for them. Oh, you could be doing a lot of other things with your time. No, I rejoice that they opened up their home and they allowed me to come in and teach them the Word of God. Lord, I'm asking you to put a sense of urgency in our spirit. God, an urgency that we have not yet operated under. God, I'm asking you, when we wake up in the morning, remind us that time is short. The Lord is coming. No man knows the day nor the hour. Not even the angels in heaven. Only God, because only God knows when he decides he's going to come. God, help us to get urgent about our own families. Those of you that are here tonight, I'm going to give you a commission. You need to go home and you need to say, brother, sister, mother, father, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, you should have been in church tonight. Well, you know I could. You should have been in church tonight. You can carve out 2 hours in the middle of the week to go to church. Well, why do I need to go to church? Because you need to hear the word. Because God loves you just as much as he loved me. And if God loves me enough to reach for me, he loves you that much too. Start speaking the word to them. Don't be afraid. Don't feel intimidated. Look at what he's done for me. Look how he's changed my... It's undeniable when God... That's why there has to be physical change. There has to be. Because when God, when people see the change in your life, when they see the change, they know something is at work. Something is happening. There's got to be a change of habit, change the way you used to talk, change the way you used to talk, walk, change the way you dress. You don't believe that, do you? My wife and I were talking about the temple. Granted, there was a lot of gold inside the temple. There was not on the outside. The outside was covered in what? Goatskin? What else was it? Huh? Beaver skin? It wasn't pleasant. You know why? Listen, take this to the bank. Because God didn't want people to be drawn because of the outside. But the inside was a different story. That's why the Bible teaches us. I wish I could get this scripture. Let me find it. I know you're like, you said you were done. Well, I lied. Just give me a second. Give me a second. Watch. When the Bible speaks of this in 1 Peter 3, it says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel." Now, I'm not criticizing you tonight, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Watch. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." He said, don't focus on the outside, focus on the inside. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't look representable at all. What I am saying is, you can pretty all this up, but we really got to worry about this in here. That's what we got to worry about. That's the number one priority. But that is contradictive to our world. Our world is all about looks and what the world dubs beauty. I don't know. That was just a bonus. I want to pray. I know I started. Let's pray. Gracious Father. Actually, Brother Kao, you did such a great job on Sunday. I would like you to come up and pray on this for us again, if you would. I know you'll pray with fervency.
Let's go ahead and raise our hands to the Lord right now. Jesus, we thank you for the word of the Lord that came forth today, Father. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing in this hour, Lord. And we ask you, Jesus, that you would put a urgency in our spirit and in our heart, God, to do the will of God, to reach the lost in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us make the kingdom serious in our lives. Let us line ourselves up with your word and with your spirit, God, and what you're trying to do with the Great Commission in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to realign our lives that it may be more focused on the kingdom, that it may be more urgent, God, that everything that we do in our lives is with urgency, God, that everywhere we go, Lord, every time we're on the job, every time we're going down the street, Lord, we are quickened by your spirit with an urgency to reach the lost, with an urgency, God, to continue to go forward in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us hunger and desire to do the things that we can't do, Lord. Give us hunger and desire, Lord, to reach beyond the four walls, to reach beyond, God, just our home, to reach, Lord, deep into our community, to reach, Lord, into our county, to reach, Lord, in the places that you have put us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you can give us hunger, you can give us desire, and Lord, you can give us an urgency when we put away the flesh and begin to walk in the Spirit. Help us, Lord, in this hour, in the name of Jesus, where the world is trying, God, to confuse us, where the world, Lord, is trying to keep us captivated by the things of this world. I pray, Lord, that we would be more urgent in our prayer, that we would be more fervent in our prayer and more fervent in our walk with you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Put a fire in our belly. Put a fire in our belly, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to completely sell out to the kingdom in Jesus' name.
Mountains are still being moved, and strongholds are still being loosed. is God we believe. Yes, we can see Him, that wonders are still what You do. And bodies are still being raised, and giants are still being slain. Yes, God, we believe. Yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what You do. We are here for You. Come and do what You do. We are here for You. Come and do what You do. Set our hearts on You. Come and do what You do. 'Cause we need a move. 'Cause we need a move. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. Still being raised, giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what You do. We are here for You. Come and happen when You move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when You move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles, miracles happen when You move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when You move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles, miracles happen when You move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when You coming. Oh, miracles, miracles happen when You move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when You move, and heaven is coming. Yes, oh, miracles, miracles happen. When You move, healing is as we need to move.
Listen, I want you to pray as long as you want, but I want you to know this. The reason the enemy tries to keep us so busy, the reason he tries to keep us doing everything else and all the things the world has to offer, is to keep us from going. It's the only reason. To keep us from teaching, keep us from baptizing. And know that when you get up and you go to church, that is a form of going. People come here and they work, they teach, they play, they sing. That's a form of going as well. Clean, whatever it is. So I pray that we leave here today with a spirit and a sense of urgency in our spirit. Lord Jesus, one more time, let your presence, oh God, let your presence, oh God, be on this place, on every person. God, keep them safe as they travel home. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the urgency, God, of your return be in our spirit every day. In Jesus' name, praise God. Pray as long as you want. It is snowing now. Just drive careful going home. Be safe. Anybody can help them next door. And if you got to drive a distance, don't worry about it. They can get others to help. God bless you.